This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hello out there and welcome. Thanks for joining us at the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. I am Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are trial lawyers practicing in the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect. And we just so happen to be your co-hosts for this episode of the podcast. A lot of great things to talk about today. I think this is going to be one of those episodes that we've touched on the subject before. And I've mentioned this reference before, in that
I hit the microphone.
And that in the 1980s, there was a show called Unsolved Mysteries, and you know, it first started off doing, you know, like this person was murdered, and we were trying to find the last witness or whatever. This person was abducted. Then it got into like this person saw Bigfoot. You know, has anybody seen Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Call in 876-5353. But I liked the episodes where it was like, you know, update. And like they'd be like, hey, we actually saw Bigfoot and we found him. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're letting the viewers know that you know, your tips.
He lives in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
he runs an Aldi.
An Aldi. It's the grocery store.
Yeah.
You got to pay for the.
You got to pay for the cart.
You got to pay for the cart. So this episode is an update. You know, we found Amelia Earhart. And so this episode's like that. This episode has to do with the most recent Supreme Court case regarding arbitration and who has the power to bind a resident of a nursing home during the admission process to mandatory arbitration. So
it must specifically, because this is how the court frames it, who has the power to waive the resident's rights to a jury trial? just who designed this Starbucks cup? You know, the engineers of the, what is it, the Exxon Valdez?
I guess this would be one of those treats if you actually watch this podcast, is that Will has just spilled coffee all over himself.
All over myself.
And I'm assuming in anticipation of this topic. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, hot coffee. Stella Liebeck, McDonald's.
Right. So arbitration is a alternative dispute resolution method that is often employed by large companies that deal often with thousands of consumers.
And here's what's really important, because this is, you get into the mindset of the court, because they're going to talk about this, is that arbitration is not a bad thing, all right? Businesses many times want to go into arbitration with other businesses. Sometimes it's good for regular people to go into arbitration. Attorneys use arbitration with their clients sometimes. What we're talking about here is that you have, under the Seventh Amendment, you have a right to a jury trial for all civil cases and controversies.
Okay? Over $20.
Over $20. It's not been updated in a long time. But that used to be a lot back then. But still, you have a constitutional right to a jury trial. And it's important to understand that's what we're talking about. So when we talk about arbitration, we're talking about nursing home residents who are giving up their constitutional right under the Seventh Amendment.
So that's, in a nutshell, what arbitration is. You're agreeing with the other party, in this instance the nursing home, to waive the civil court process altogether. Jury trial, bench trial, doesn't matter. You're agreeing to go in front of a neutral arbitrator to resolve whatever conflict that you or the nursing home have against one another. The beef is never aired out in a court of law. It's done in front of an arbitrator. So that's in we've gone into previous podcasts. If you're interested in this topic, we've done this in previous podcasts. I would encourage you to go look at those in terms of the pros and cons. We're not going to get into that too much today, only to say that generally arbitration can be it's sold as being faster. But in reality, arbitration foregoes the normal processes of motions practice and discovery. Generally, it's you file the arbitration claim stating, you know, whatever your claim is, whether it's wrongful death, personal injury, breach of contract, whatever it is. And then there's a little bit of mandatory discovery. And then later on down the road, you have a hearing and it gets here, you know, it gets tried, basically. But in a civil court system, it's, you know, there's a lot more protections for the consumer, that kind of thing. But anyway, that's arbitration, alternative dispute resolution method, an alternative to standard litigation. So as you can imagine, statistics bear out that arbitration generally, on an overall scale, awards favor the nursing homes, okay? And again, we encourage you to look at previous podcasts to listen to as to why. But from a broad standpoint, it's going to often be better not to sign arbitration agreements. Okay, so
think about it this way: if the nursing home wants you to do it, then there's a reason they want you to do it. They don't want you to do it so that you can have more leverage than they do. They want you to do it so you have less leverage than they do.
That's right. But in the late 70s, early 80s, maybe even into the early 90s, there was a federal statute and then various Supreme Court decisions that basically propped up and encouraged arbitration over civil litigation across the country. It was called the Federal Arbitration Act. And so what that federal statute does, and what the Supreme Court decisions that came after it protecting it, basically said that, you know, state courts generally are not going to be able to. That was me. I hit the microphone that time.
Okay, just making sure everybody caught that.
Yeah, yeah. The public policy and the public trend was towards arbitration. So if there was any issues with the scope of the arbitration, if there was any issues in whether or not the parties agree to arbitration, on a host of all the minutiae issues that come up with any statute, it generally, the default rule was arbitrated, or arbitration is good. And then, of course, over the course of the last 30 years, the data has come back with what Will and I have been saying, which is to say that generally arbitration is slanted in favor of the nursing home within nursing home arbitration. And we're not talking about your local cable provider. We're not talking about your cell phone provider. We're talking about in the instances of nursing home arbitration. It's generally seen by many state legislatures, by many, state courts, that this is not, you know, this whole favoring arbitration thing is from a general standpoint, not good. So what we had is in the Supreme Court case is one more Supreme Court case going against that recent trend of, hey, this isn't a good thing. Arbitration is not a good thing. And they're going back towards, we want to have a strong Federal Arbitration Act. And what was surprising to me, and we'll get into the content of this Supreme Court decision, but I think it was, 7-1? 7-2?
It was.
So we have here in this Supreme Court case is called Kindred Nursing Centers Limited Partnership et al. Versus Clark et al. It basically stems from a couple in Kentucky. So Beverly Wellner and Janice Clark, the wife and daughter respectively of Joe Wellner and Olive Clark, each held a power of attorney affording broad authority to manage the family members' affairs. So the wife and daughter signed in the two other individuals into the Kindred Nursing Centers Limited, the Winchester Center for Health and Rehabilitation in Kentucky. And upon admission, those two individuals signed a mandatory arbitration agreement on behalf of their two loved ones. And when the two residents later died, their family members that signed those arbitration agreements filed a lawsuit in court. In other words, contrary to what was said in the arbitration agreement, they filed a complaint in the state court of Kentucky, and the nursing home filed a motion to dismiss saying, hey, you guys signed this arbitration agreement on behalf of your family members. We need to arbitrate this. And so the lower courts disagreed and
sided with the plaintiffs.
It went up through various appeals courts and court of appeals, where the Supreme Court of Kentucky reviewed it and said, okay, here's the deal. You can have the most general, broad power of attorney, the document that gives somebody the authority to act on somebody else. It can say you can do everything, legal matters, the whole shebang. Like if you've ever seen a general durable power of attorney, they're pretty broad in the sense of what a power of attorney can do for you. Legal matters, financial matters. Sometimes there's a power of attorney. The general power of attorneys will deal into healthcare decisions. In this instance, in this case, it was a general durable power of attorney that gave both individuals broad powers to sign contracts, to do everything, okay? And you would think that a court would say, hey, this also, because it grants such broad powers, also allows this person to sign arbitration agreements. But what the Kentucky Supreme Court said was, you know what? Arbitration is so...
It goes towards a fundamental constitutional right.
It goes towards...
The Seventh Amendment.
Exactly. And in this case, the Kentucky Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So it said a general power of attorney, if you want to say that it allows arbitration, then you're cutting against the constitutional rights, both the state constitution and the federal constitution. Waiving the rights, that's not good. So... In order for, and this is the Kentucky Supreme Court, mm-hmm. in order for a power of attorney to grant the agent the right to bind the principal, the resident, to arbitration, the power of attorney document actually has to explicitly say, you can bind me to arbitration. And the reasoning behind that was because the trial by jury is such a strong constitutional right, both in Kentucky and under the federal constitution. So that's what the Kentucky Supreme Court said. They said, nope, we're shredding this power of attorney with regard to arbitration, and I'm sending this back to the trial court. Go forward with a trial by jury, because in Kentucky, we believe in trial by juries and no power of attorney unless it explicitly says you can sign arbitration agreements for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to happen.
And those of you who don't understand state constitutions versus federal constitutions, clearly you know what the U.S. Constitution is. It's it was ratified 1787. It's the one that Nicolas Cage tries. No, that was the Declaration of Independence.
Well, as soon as you said Nicolas Cage,
yeah.
I immediately fell
asleep. The federal constitution, right? And then each state has a constitution. And the states, for the most part, mimic the federal constitution. They can expand certain rights, but they can't close those rights. So a state can't say, you don't have a right to a jury trial, but they can expand certain rights, that go beyond what the protections of the federal government. And the reason that I bring that up is the Kentucky Supreme Court is saying, look, this is not only a violation of the U.S. Supreme Court, it's a violation of our of the violation of the U.S. Constitution, it's a violation of the Kentucky Constitution as well. So just understand that there are two constitutions at play here.
That's right.
Both of which give you the guarantee you the right to a jury trial.
If you're a Kentucky citizen or a resident.
Right.
But we happen to happily be Georgia residents. And a little known fact is that the Tennessee Constitution guarantees you the right to
a jury trial in any cases involving the selling of pigs, because that is the main activity in Tennessee, pig selling.
That I was going to say cows.
Oh, wow. I was making fun of Tennessee, and I was pretty close.
No, I mean, what is this, Alabama?
Come on. All right.
So that's where we were with the Kentucky Supreme Court decision. So the Kentucky Supreme Court decided on the side, found in favor of the residents in this case, shredded that power of attorney, got to have arbitration explicitly in there, go to trial, see what happens. Of course, that gets appealed. It goes up to the United States Supreme Court. We all know the United States. Well, a lot of people know the... I sound like Donald Trump. A lot of people know the United States Supreme Court.
It's a great court.
It's tremendous.
You're gonna love it.
You know, Ginsburg, Alito, Roberts, Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, yep. Neil Gorsuch. Kennedy, who's going to screw all of us.
So. In terms of...
Well, for consumers, Kennedy, with Kennedy, rumors of Kennedy leaving in the spring and retiring because he's 80-something years old, what that's going to do is he was basically a swing vote. And so there was a balance in the court. Now, with the court, if he goes with a Republican-held Congress and Senate and president, you're likely to have... a very conservative nominee who's possibly to get it, then it's going to lean towards the right, which typically favors large businesses and is certainly going to favor industries like the nursing home industry rather than consumers and plaintiffs. So that is a huge concern. Although I will say this, I am not a fan of arbitration, clearly, and I'm not a fan of forcing arbitration on nursing home residents and their families, clearly. I'm not really like against the U.S. Supreme Court's reasoning in this.
Let me tell the fair viewer
let's get into how
it goes. Okay, so we're now at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says two things. Number one is that the Federal Arbitration Act, which is the federal act that I spoke of earlier, is powerful. It's like the Emperor from Star Wars. And that a court, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, California, doesn't matter, no state court can basically strike an arbitration clause based on the fact that it's just arbitration. It has to be based on a contract principle. So in other words, a court can't throw an arbitration agreement out the window because it's arbitration. It has to be for some other contract reason, like, for example, the party was not able to contract to begin with because of some type of cognitive impairment.
Or it's a contract of adhesion.
Or something like that. Yeah. Some other reason has to be stated. Otherwise, a court can't simply throw out an arbitration agreement because that's a violation of the Federal Arbitration Act, which is the Emperor from Star Wars.
So, in other words, there may have been justification for throwing it out if it was just arbitration. If in a town, you know, in a small town, there was only one electricity provider, and that electricity provider had an arbitration clause in their contract, and you could either take it or not have electricity, maybe then.
Yeah.
But that's not the situation in this case.
Exactly. Or if somebody forged somebody's name.
Yeah.
You know, that also is that. And then, but more specifically, the court threw out Kentucky's reasoning that, you know, in order to have a power of attorney, grant the right of an agent to bind the principal to arbitration would require a specific sentence saying arbitration is okay.
Because it is a fundamental constitutional right under the state and federal constitution.
They said the Supreme Court went out of their way, bent over backwards, to say that's absolutely ridiculous to require a general power of attorney to specifically enunciate each constitutional right that is being granted. And they gave a couple of examples. I will give those to you.
One was the acquiring of property.
They say that, for example, the Kentucky Constitution protects the inherent and inalienable rights to acquire and protect property and to freely communicate thoughts and opinions. But the state court, this Kentucky state court, nowhere cautioned that an attorney, in fact, would now need a specific authorization to, say, sell her principal's furniture or commit her principal to a non-disclosure agreement. I mean, I feel like I understand where they're coming from on that reasoning, but I feel like that's a stretch. Like,
I think that this is one of those things where we have a policy in place that we don't like, and we're looking to the courts to address that policy. When I'm not sure that that's the place that it needs to take, that it needs to happen. I agree with the Supreme Court's reasoning on this at this time. I mean, I haven't really like digested this a lot. I think that this is something that should be addressed by the legislature, which, you know, is going to be nearly impossible to do in a place like Kentucky
or
Georgia.
Just to be clear, you mean the United States legislature, because the state legislature could not override the federal arbitration act, because it's the emperor.
Yeah, yeah.
And the state legislatures are going to be more Darth Vader.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just not going to happen. But it's one of those things where, from my perspective, it should be the U.S. Congress that addresses this and says, hey, on the issues of fundamental rights, powers of attorney under the Federal Arbitration Act must enunciate specifically that they have the power to waive the Seventh Amendment.
So the long story short, kids, gather around, is that if you have a loved one and are considering placing that loved one in a nursing home, a general power of attorney, now based on the United States Supreme Court's reasoning, is if it's broad enough in scope, it will automatically incorporate being able to bind your loved one to arbitration.
Yeah. So, at the end of the day, anyone who is putting a loved one in a nursing home is an adult. If you are an adult, you have the power to take out a mortgage, to make decisions on other humans' lives. It is incumbent upon you to read the documents they're handing you. I know it's hard, and I have seen people, you're already distraught that you have to do this to your mother, your father, whomever, and you're not really thinking, and they hand you this big stack of documents. And we live in an age now anyway where we constantly click on, do you agree with the terms and conditions? Like, on a daily basis, I sign away God knows what rights just to download an app that counts my calories, right? Like, I have no idea. But when you're dealing with nursing homes, read what they're giving you. Do not sign the arbitration agreement. At the end of the day, this case would have never seen the light of day in the Supreme Court had the family simply said, you know what, we're not going to sign that. And I can guarantee you that they signed it without even thinking about what they were doing.
That's right. And so as an addendum to the update of this episode, September of last year, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services issued a new rule saying that no nursing home that accepts Medicare funds can require arbitration upon admission into the facilities, which was immediately enjoined by a district court judge in Mississippi, I think maybe later on in the year in November. This is 2016. 2017, or maybe late 2016 or 2017, CMS came out and said, okay, well, as long as that is enjoined, we're going to kind of withdraw that rule. And of course, the election happened in that interim, and the head of the CMS, which the head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
What are you pointing at me for?
Okay, I was going to say, you usually announce it. He was a congressman from our state of Georgia, Tom Price.
Oh, Tom Price. Yeah. I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying. I zoned out.
Yeah, clearly. Tom Price.
From the 6th District of Georgia.
Correct. Who is the head of Department of Health and Human Services now is saying, you know, we're going to table that altogether.
Yeah.
So as of right now, there was a light at the end of the arbitration tunnel, but now we're back into the, I guess, into the hole.
And I really agreed with the ruling by CMS that you can't do arbitration, because you have to think, like, they're the ones that are giving these nursing homes all that money. They're the ones who also benefit if you recoup damages from a nursing home because of negligence, because CMS gets paid back. So... you know, we'll see what happens.
I just feel like it's like a pendulum.
Yeah,
and you know, you go through an era in which the legislatures, the courts are on the side of what you would call the money, the companies, the nursing homes,
and the special interests.
Right. So the Federal Arbitration Act is enacted and upheld, and then you have slowly, like, we're chipping away at that and chipping away at that based on the data and the problems with the consumers. And now I feel like we're starting to swing back a little bit with this recent election and with what's going on, particularly in Congress right now, not just with arbitration, but with the, what is it called, the Patient Care Act,
Protecting Patient Access to Healthcare Act, some horrible, like, Orwellian name, which is the opposite of what it actually does.
Yeah. In other words, it puts caps on...
It puts caps on non-economic damages, and it creates a federal statute of limitations, which has a floor of a year, with no more than 3 years as an extension.
So, in short, the pendulum, I feel like, is, from a broad standpoint, starting to swing back the other way a little bit. So, I don't know, write your congressman. But anyway, what are the main bullet points for this podcast today, Will?
The main bullet points are, if you have a general power of attorney, one that you downloaded for LegalZoom.com and had your loved one sign, and you signed them into the nursing home, you've probably signed away their rights under the U.S. Constitution to have a jury trial.
As per this most recent Supreme Court decision.
As per this most recent Supreme Court decision. So, don't sign it and read what you're signing. But I'll tell you one thing that is okay if you sign.
What's that?
And that's us signing off.
All right. And that concludes this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. As always, you can catch a new episode of the podcast every Monday morning, either online, which would be at our YouTube channel, or our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or you can download the audio or MP3 at... I don't know where you do that, on Stitcher or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast fix. And I think that's it. Signing off until next time.
Till next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, NursingHomeAbusePodcast.com. That's NursingHomeAbusePodcast.com. See you next time.